Hello, Olin Tangi. This is Krista Davis, Olin Tangi's Chief Communications Officer. For our final podcast episode of the 2024-25 school year, we are excited to feature Olin Tangi Orange High School English teacher, Andrea Vasilius, and a few of her students to learn about the innovative teaching practices she has introduced into her classrooms. Assistant Director of Secondary Curriculum and Innovative Learning, Chris Sander, joins us to speak with Ms. Vasilius and hear about the impact of our student-led gradeless structure.
Hi, I'm Chris Sander. I'm the Assistant Director of Secondary Curriculum.
I'm Andrea Vasilius, English teacher at Olin Tangi Orange High School.
I'm Taylor Boyd. I'm in 12th grade at Olin Tangi Orange High School.
I'm Salma Sajid. I'm a senior at Olin Tangi Orange High School.
Thank you all for being here today. I'm very excited to talk to Mrs. Vasilius about some of the innovative practices happening in Olin Tangi Orange's English classrooms. So, Andrea, I'd like to start with a question. What inspired you to shift toward a gradeless classroom and give students more agency in their learning?
Thanks, Chris. And thank you, Olin Tangi, for having us all on today. We appreciate it. Appreciate the invitation. I guess what inspired me is I think back in like 2013, 2014-ish, I saw a drastic rise in anxiety with students. And this really very much a transactional relationship created in the classroom where students were really concerned about grades and all these kind of like hoops to jump through to get the grade. And learning wasn't at the forefront, I didn't feel, when it came to them. And so I was just searching for something different. How can we do this differently? And it just so happened that at the time, my husband, the large company that he worked at, he was in IT leadership. He invited me down because they were going through this huge, big reorganization in the company and where they were implementing lean thinking and agile. And so he said, why don't you come down and see what we're doing? And it was like a light bulb clicked on because it was a different way of thinking about doing your work. And so I was able to study what they did. I was able to meet with them. I was able to learn lean thinking and I did a lot of reading. And then I thought to myself, how can I apply this here? How can I make things better for them? Where he worked, they completely flipped how they did everything and they questioned everything. And they got really curious about why they did what they did. And so I took those practices and I implemented it here and I just dug into everything I did and said, why am I doing this? And then is this the best thing for kids? And I ultimately found that a lot of what I did was not the best thing for kids, because it was what I was taught, but not necessarily what they needed. And so I went through and tried to change everything, but then tried to really bring their voice in and studied culture, studied different ways businesses do things. But I think the big thing was studying culture and thinking about, okay, as kids continue to change, and especially and as Orange got bigger and the population grew, I had to have different ways to teach and to get that moving for them. And then as they grew and as they changed as well, that anxiety piece had to be changed for them. I couldn't continue to teach with this rising anxiety in kids every day where I would see them crying and breaking down. And it just wasn't okay. And so they are the inspiration, I would say. And how can we do things better to meet their needs?
Thank you, Andrea. So Taylor or Selma, who'd ever like to take this question, or maybe both of you, how do you experience learning differently in Mrs. Vasilius's classroom?
For me, the biggest thing is it's so much more self-centered and it's like what I need to work on. And I wouldn't say that doesn't mean we don't do things as a class, because we definitely do and we work in groups. And we learn from each other and from our classmates, which is a lot different than any of the other classes that I've been in before. But once we do and we work together, then I can go back and kind of see what else I need to work on and what, like, personally for me, I could improve with.
For me, it's basically like when you walk into that classroom, the way she has it set up is like our work is on the walls. The tables are like grouped. It's not like rows. It's like a very welcoming space. So you feel like students, like your voice matters when you walk into that classroom. It's not just like classroom material, like this is what you need to know. It's like your work matters.
So along those lines, how do you think learning should feel? And how close does this classroom come to that ideal feeling?
I think out of all my experiences, this has been the best of like the most ideal way of like how like I would describe how I should learn. It's student oriented, but you also like work with others. You like get feedback, and like she really fosters growth because it's gradeless. It's like you don't have the fear of failure and like that anxiety behind you at all times. So you're allowed to make mistakes and like learn from them.
I think you should be, like, as a student, more motivated to learn and not just memorize or get the assignment done with and actually want to learn more and learn all that you can. And I feel that way a lot in Mrs. Vasilius's class. And also just feeling comfortable in her class and feeling like you belong there.
Outstanding. Thank you very much, Taylor and Selma. Those were great responses. So, Selma, you highlighted that gradeless classroom. So that's a really hard concept for some people to wrap their head around, especially, going through a college teacher prep program and having to, you know, give a grade or earn a grade, and that's been your whole life. So how does feedback look and feel different in a gradeless classroom?
That's a really good question. It's not completely gradeless, as in, like, when you do assignments and tests, in that class, it doesn't go into the grade book. You still have a conversation with her at the end of every quarter. And it's basically, she talks about how you've grown as a student rather than the work. Like, if you did bad, students have bad days some days, and it's not going to affect your entire quarter grade just because of one bad outcome. She looks at your entire growth and how you've been doing as a student.
I would also say you do receive, like, some scores, but they're not something that's going to, like, penalize you like it would if you got a bad score and it went in the grade book. But you can also use those to track your progress. And when you look back at those, see where you went wrong and then go back and relearn that again.
You heard in the beginning, Mrs. Vasilius say that one of the big motivators for her to change her approach in the classroom was reducing anxiety. Is that something you feel in her classroom compared to others, a reduction in the anxiety you feel in what you're doing?
Definitely. Like, there are some classes where it's just like tests and quiz based. And so you just try to memorize the information the best you can and regurgitate it to get an A, just do the assignment to get the grade. And Vasilius's classroom doesn't have grades. So it's basically you want to learn it. It's like you're encouraged to learn it because there isn't a grade or letter you're chasing after.
Yeah, I would also say the like reduction in anxiety is more motivating because in other classes where I've had like heightened anxiety like that, it kind of makes me shut down and not want to do the work. Whereas where I'm more comfortable, I feel like I can step out of my comfort zone and accomplish more.
One of the things I implemented this year or attempted to implement and change because of the feedback I received from last year's students, they said to talk less. And they said they gave me some specific feedback. And so what I tried to do this year was to set up what I called challenges and how can I take the content and make them challenges so they had to work in groups to figure things out. One of the things I've played with is that I think we give kids too much and we don't trust them enough to figure out the how. And so I wanted to play with this year, how can I take this stuff that I've done this way, and present it to them so that I create all these really great resources and I give them all these resources that, can help them, but they have to imagine the how and they work together to do it. So my question to you all is, how did that feel in the classroom this year? And did it make a difference at all?
I would say at first, in the start of the year, sometimes it would seem like challenging and daunting, like we're on our own, very little guidance and not really sure where to start. But as the year went on, it definitely got a lot easier. And I feel like that definitely brought me and my classmates closer together, and especially me and my table mates. Our biggest project this year was our AP with We Service project, and that ended up being a huge success for my group. And I think that was because we were able to work together so well, and were able to figure out how we were going to get it all done with all the different skills that everybody had. And I feel like I've never had a chance to do that in other classes and had it be that successful.
Taylor, can you just explain just a second what your project was? And because it's a server, AP with We, you can overlay to any AP class. And so, and then they get to choose what they want to, the service project that they want to work on and the problems that they want to solve. Can you just explain briefly what you guys took on and tried to do?
Yeah, so we started with our research question, and we kind of decided as a group that we wanted to focus on helping animals, specifically like pets, in our community. And that kind of led us to researching about how pets are kind of thrown away or like released into the local environment and are not getting like the supplies that they need. So we set up a fundraiser at our school, and we were able to get creative with it too. We made all these super cute boxes that had pets, cats, dogs, hamsters, all over them. And we set them up over the school. And over the course of the month, we collected donations. And we collected them, counted them, allowed students to take service hours for their donations. And then we donated them. And it was a really rewarding experience and a lot of fun, too.
Is there any part of working with the groups, Selma, that you would say was different for you, or that you appreciated or didn't, or maybe didn't appreciate with the group?
I liked working with the groups, because especially because Ms. Vasilia sometimes stepped back, so you weren't always on your own. You had other people to talk to and talk about the project with that like helped you move the gears.
And Taylor, you talked about the beginning of the year feeling daunting at times, correct?
Yes.
So knowing that your skills developed over the course of the year and knowing that that gradeless classroom is requires you to have a conversation about growth, for either one of you, what skills did you gain this year that you'll be able to take with you into your future endeavors?
I feel like for me, well, we've talked about before the idea of student agency and like being able to take charge and know what you need or what's best for you. And I feel like I've learned a lot about how to do that, and that there's like resources out there for me, and that sometimes it's not always going to be easy at first, and there's not always going to be someone to guide me. And especially being a senior and about to graduate, those are skills that I'm going to need to know, and I think will be very beneficial to students in high school.
I think I got better on thinking on my own. So like compared to other classrooms, there's like a set instructions or directions that you follow, and then like you do the assignment. But Ms. Vasilius like didn't really give us strict directions or instructions. She would let us think on our own, which was challenging in the beginning, but it got better and my skills developed there.
So, Andrea, I'd still like our community to have a chance to learn more from you. So what's one misconception people have about a gradeless or agency-driven classroom that you'd like to debunk?
I think one thing that a misconception that I've heard is that if we give kids more control, if we give them more agency, that no one learns and it all falls apart. And that is not the case. I've been doing this since 2019, where the kids turned to me and said, can we get rid of grades? And that year I had no idea what we were doing, zero. And we ran with it, and I worked with the kids. And when I say we, it was me and the kids. working together to figure it out. And so when I realized that when people work together to figure things out, they can do amazing things. So I think it's so cool that they talked today about learning to figure things out, because I did watch them go from the beginning of the year to looking at each other, kind of like deer in the headlights going, we don't know how to do this. And me not stepping in to solve their problem. And what Salma said about not giving frameworks and not giving graphic organizers and not giving these things that normally we might give as teachers. But they got practice doing it and their confidence built. And once someone's confidence and their competence builds, I think there's no limit to what they can do. And so I think that when you give them control and you turn that over to them and you just become a coach, you just become part of the people cheering for them, I think it's really beneficial, because then we create capacity, we create space, we create opportunities for them to really grow and shine and be the stars, which is what I think we all want for them.
A common misconception teachers have about students is when they skip class, they're just doing it for fun or just gonna go home and relax. But that could be so far from the truth. Kids mostly skip to avoid tests, quizzes, or certain assignments out of the fear of failing that, or they just skip to study more. School has become so challenging to some kids, and the anxiety they have of just getting a bad grade makes them avoid just going to school in general. I personally, after having a gradeless classroom, I've never skipped Mrs. Cecilia's classroom, because I know one bad day won't impact my quarter grade, and she'll understand that because we have the teacher-student relationship, because you have conversations with it, because it's a gradeless classroom.
So Andrea, I'd like to ask you, can you describe the moment when you realized your approach was really working for students?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I can try. I think in the fall of 2019, when the kids wanted to go gradeless, and we were in our first end of quarter, we went into our first end of quarter assessment, going into midterms. And normally they would have done a presentation where there was a rubric and it was kind of formal, I guess you could say. But we were trying to create what this looks like gradeless. And so we were having conversations, and I became the facilitator of conversations. And I just ran back and forth between all four sections during the day and took notes and said, well, this group said this and that group said that. And they all agreed they didn't want a rubric and to get rid of that. And then they questioned, and they were really curious, well, how do we know what we need to show? And they said, can you just create a list of things from College Board that we need to show for this quarter? I said, sure. And then one of my students said, and then can you just get out of our way? And I said, yes, absolutely. What does that look like? And so then they described to me what my role would be. And that was really pivotal for me, because then I watched them go to work. And again, I was just the facilitator. I was the coach. I was a support system. I was the encourager. And I asked lots of questions to get their brains to think and click forward, and just got curious with them. But then when I think I really realized that the approach was, we were going somewhere with it, was then when normally I would listen to presentations to evaluate and grade. And I didn't realize how much pressure and stress that put on me. And when I sat down to listen to those presentations, I didn't listen to grade. I listened to enjoy and be proud. And it was like a light switch turned on that I was like, oh my gosh, this is what teaching, this is what being in it with kids is. And to get rid of the grades and to get rid of that pressure and stress that I didn't realize that I was putting on myself too, was so freeing. And I watched kids stand up and make mistakes and laugh at those mistakes and just be filled with joy, that I was like, I think we're on to something. And then to watch that continue 6 years later and watch that this year with these guys, in a completely different setting almost, because they're very different than those kids in 2019. and to see how and to have their voices talk about how what their needs are and how they need something different has been really, really interesting and just really cool to think about it from a teacher's perspective and go, oh, okay, we need agency too. We need to have autonomy too. And we don't need all this stress either. We need to be in it with them, walking side by side with them so that they know that we support them right beside them and we're not out in front, but we're beside as coaches. So.
And Andrea, you've talked a lot about reflection today. With all the progress you've made since 2019, what's next? What comes next year?
That's a great question, Chris. I hope that I can take what this year's seniors say and their feedback to improve for next year's group. I know we'll have a lot more students in the course. And so I've been thinking ever since I found out about how many students are taking the course next year, about all the different things we could possibly change, especially when it comes to making each student feel seen and heard and like they belong and that they get individual attention, because I think that's really important and they get individual feedback. But also then to being part of that bigger whole. And so I think that I know that what I've done this year, I'll build upon for next year for certain, to with the challenges and making students have the opportunity to figure things out. But also too, I like to lean into the year and go, I'm not sure, right? That's the fun part for me, because I don't know until I meet my students, until I get a good feel for who they are and I bring their voice into it and listen to their goals, because that's what we're all about. And I've realized that as I've gotten older and I've gotten more into this and I've gotten better at just leaning into not knowing and letting them take it where they want to take it, I think it's a lot more fun that way, because I can make sure they learn the content. That's not the hard part. But the fun part is watching them grow.
I'm going to put you guys on the spot. If you had to sum up your experience with one word that you want everyone listening to know, what would it be?
Valuable.
Amazing.
I think if I had to summarize what I heard today, was a lot of joy from the teacher and from students. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris, for allowing us to hear from Taylor and Salma about their experiences and how Ms. Vasilius's teaching is preparing them for the future. So until we say hello again, goodbye, Olentangy.